Please take your Bibles, turning with me to 1 Timothy, and we come to chapter 3. 1 Timothy and chapter 3. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he be able to take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This morning we come to the second of Paul's five trustworthy or faithful sayings. Last week we listed those five that were from Paul, as well as the two that come out of Revelation from the Apostle John. Let me recount them ever so quickly to you. First of all, there is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Here at the outset of chapter 3, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. Chapter 4 and verses 8 to 10, we read of bodily discipline, but of the surpassing benefit that godliness is. And Paul says, verse 9, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 to 13, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And out of Titus, that third pastoral epistle, chapter 3 and verses 5 to 8, we read, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. And verse 8, Paul underscores this. This is a trustworthy, a faithful saying. So now we come here to this second, and we read about those who aspire or those who desire the office of overseer. Now there are many things that perhaps you desire or that I desire, and life just doesn't quite line up with the desires. I greatly desire a Datsun 260Z. I'm not sure whether I'll ever own one, but I desire it. I drove one once, and it was great fun. But sometimes what we desire or what we aspire to is not something that is appropriate. Paul understood that. And here, at the outset, he says, if a man aspires or desires the work of an overseer within the church, within the family of God, to make sure that things are operating carefully, properly, appropriately, that is a good thing. However, Paul would then go on to list the qualifications of an overseer and say, look, it is not simply just for anyone willy-nilly to step up and say, oh, I'll take on that task, I'll do that. But there are certain qualifications which are to be met for an overseer, for a deacon in like manner. And so here Paul says, aspiring, and he talks about an office within the church. Now we could preach a sermon talking about leadership, but I would like to let that be to the side for a moment. We have come to this portion of Scripture and read it and studied it before. This morning, I want to take a little bit of a diversion and talk about desires. Here, the Apostle Paul talks about a trustworthy statement and things which the heart desires. And what do we do with those things? Within our world, there is the thinking that if something is desirable, if something is craved within the being of a certain person, that they should pursue that and that it doesn't matter what God's word has to say. But they miss something horribly. And they even go to the point of saying, if God has given me this desire, why would I not indulge in that? Why would I not pursue that? Why would I not absolutely give myself to that? And thereby, essentially, God is getting the blame for placing that desire within a person. And again, so much is forgotten in the overall equation. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden for a moment. There, in the Garden of Eden, God created in such a short period of time all that we see around us, and he created mankind. And it says there that man was created in the very image of God. There was that indelible imprint. Unlike any of the other creatures that God had made, there was that indelible imprint that man was made in the likeness and in the image of God. Stated more than once or twice, we are made in the image of God. Now, some people would take that, well, God created not just our bodies, he created not just our intellect, he created our motions, he created our will, he created our desires. And so essentially we could say all of these things come from God, and thereby how could they be displeasing to him? But they forget Genesis chapter 3, and that not only was this created order marred, though coming right from the very hand and word of God, though it was had God's own fingerprints all over it, yet there was that hideous marring effect. And so our bodies, we suffer death as a result. Not immediate, but death is constantly working within each and every one of us. Within interpersonal relationships, Adam and Eve all of a sudden were at odds with one another, as were Cain and Abel, and on it goes. There was fracture in the animal kingdom. There was fracture within the desires of man's heart. And so it is inappropriate now to say, God placed these within me, and I should just let it go. I should just let it be. I should pursue those things. There needs to be a careful understanding. Has there been a marring effect? Has there been a twisting? Has there been a diversion that has taken place so that those desires are not what God would want? Well, Paul here comes and he puts his finger down on one thing, a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires or desires the office of an overseer, it is a fine work, a good thing that he desires to do. Again, not sure whether it is appropriate for that particular person, but a fine thing they desire to do. The Bible talks much about the desires of the heart. If you were to take a concordance and to go through, you would not just want to search the word desire, but you would want to look up the word heart. What does that have to say? You might want to look at the word seek or diligently seek. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that verse out of that proverb out of Proverbs chapter 3 really brings us full circle. The desires of men and women today are the desires which they alone have identified as being right and proper and good, and they have not submitted those things to the Lord. They have not acknowledged him in all of their ways in order that he might direct their paths. Even out of James chapter 1 and verses 13 to 15, we read, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, his own desires. Then, when lust, when that intense desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And James says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. How easy it is to be deceived by our desires and to think that this is from God and that really it traces its roots back to God. But there is that marring. There is that scarring. We forget that one of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul enumerates is self-control, and that we are wise in order to walk in these things. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul begins talking about a desire, and then he goes along and he speaks about those who give leadership and oversight, those who give leadership and exercise service as deacons. And then at the conclusion of the chapter, verses 14 to 16, the apostle says, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. We are given here these instructions that we might know how we are to conduct ourselves and how this ties in with these opening sermons of the year. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. We are to conduct ourselves, and we are to submit our desires, whatever they might be, we are to submit them to the Lord, saying, Lord, I come before you, and I have surrendered my life to you. I have laid my life before you. I want not just 10 or 20 or 50 or 80% of my life to be submitted to you. I want my entire life to be submitted to you. I want to be honoring. I want to know how to conduct myself in a way that is pleasing to you. And Paul, he talks by common confession. This was something that was not just something done in a corner, but he said, by common confession, all of the Christians agree on this. Great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, Jesus Christ, was vindicated in the Spirit. He went before the throne of God to present his blood and to atone for our sins. Seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Paul, he says, our eyes, our hope, we are set upon this one and this one alone. And so Paul, as he talks about desires, he brings us full circle and he says, to this one we submit, to this one we bow down and we adore. Dear friend, what are the desires of your heart? I bring you back once again to Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and let him bring it to pass. Lord, we would bow before you this morning, and we would say, you are a great God over all the earth. And Lord, we would confess that so many things that we chase after and that our world so eagerly longs for, they are not those things which please you. O Lord, may it be in every way that we are pleasing before you, that we would know your smile upon us individually and collectively. Let that be, O God, I pray, so work your will. And Lord, would you continually reshape desires so that we no longer long or crave those things that the world longs for and craves for, but that we would long, that we would eagerly desire those things which honor and please you. We see in the Apostle Paul and in the apostles of the New Testament how that they delighted in the work that you were doing. So let that be of us also, ever eager, ever rejoicing in your hand of blessing and of your work. So, Lord, those things which you desire, stamp those evermore upon us. And may it be said that we are growing in grace, growing to long and look for those things which delight your great heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.